Welcome to LippincottNursingCenter.com. I'm Kara Gavin, a digital editor. I recently got to speak with Carolyn Ackerman, who's a registered nurse with almost 40 years of experience in home health and hospice. She's located in Arvada, Colorado, and she's also an assistant professor at Regis University in Denver, Colorado, where she teaches community health, health promotion, and leadership in her nursing department. She's also a huge advocate for end-of-life care. She even created an end-of-life board game called The Path of Life, The Journey of Living at the End-of-Life Game, where participants assume the role of the patient as they make decisions related to their terminal disease. She reached out to me to nominate herself for our Nurse on the Move feature, where we honor nurses who are going above and beyond in the profession. I got to have a chance to talk with her and learn why she went back to school to earn her doctorate, what's the most difficult part of being a nurse educator, her time spent as a massage therapist, and what this end-of-life board game is all about. Listen for the full interview. Hi, Carolyn. This is Kara Gavin calling from Nursing Center.
Hi, Kara. Thanks for connecting with me.
Thank you for reading our Nursing Center blog and for submitting a nomination for yourself to our Nurse on the Move.
Oh, well, and I thought, well, that maybe might not be appropriate, but I thought, well, what the heck? Why not?
Oh, no, we love people nominating themselves and nominating others, so we really appreciate any feedback we get, so we were happy to receive your submission.
Okay, thank you.
So I saw that you obviously were on our blog, and I wanted to know, are you a regular Nursing Center member?
It's a new thing for me, and it's almost like a newfound, the best-kept secret out there that I found it. And initially, I found it through my home Healthcare Now Journal.
Oh, okay.
I initially saw somebody that had written in, and when I look in the nursingcenter.com area, I love all the information that's in there, and there's a lot in there that I can use for the classes that I'm teaching.
Right.
Like community health is one of my big ones, so there's a lot of things going on in there about the Zika virus and all sorts of things, so that's what I like.
That's great.
So it's almost a newfound thing for myself, and I'm like, ooh, this is exciting. So.
Well, we love having, you know, new members come, and, you know, membership is free, so I hope you took advantage of that. Why don't we dive right in? I want to learn all about you. So I saw that you earned your diploma in nursing in 1976, and then you went on to earn your BSN in 2010. So I wanted to know, with that date range, what made you decide to further your own education?
Well, one of the things I noticed and kept hearing is that there was a shortage of faculty. And I thought, you know, I can do my part.
Yeah.
I can go on and finish my bachelor's. And one of the things I always loved in my nursing career is the education that I did with patients and families. And I thought, you know, and even when I was in leadership roles that I would be doing with my staff and all. So I thought, I can do this. I can go on and get my bachelor's, and then we'll see what else. And after the bachelor's, after I graduated with a bachelor's, the next day I started my master's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm going to keep on going. I've got the itch now. I'm going to keep moving. And because I really then wanted to contribute as faculty, I thought, if there really is a shortage and we need more nurses, why not I be part of the solution? So that's the reason that I did that. It was for others to help out with the shortage. And then as I was going on with the master's, and my background is extensive with the home health and hospice, is my passion, and I took a little, after I finished with my master's, I thought, you know, something's drawing me to go back for my doctorate. And right. I looked into lots of programs, and I was educated at Regis, so a Jesuit education for my bachelor's and my master's, and I looked at lots of different ones, and I was looking at PhDs for nursing, and I was looking at DMPs, and I thought, no, I don't want those. I want a broader, I'm really into interdisciplinary education, and in order for me to attain that, I thought that's the kind of doctoral program I wanted, so that's what I found at Creighton University, another Jesuit university, and they have their EdD in interdisciplinary leadership, and it's very exciting.
Right.
It was absolutely exciting and wonderful. I had somebody in my cohort that was a Navy commander. I had all sorts of disciplines within my cohort. So we could learn from each other, and it wasn't just nursing, because and it was interesting what I helped them learn. I'm thinking, what am I going to teach a Navy commander? But I did. we were doing all of our courses. Because it can all pertain to nursing, but they have a different perspective, whether it be leadership, whether it be finance, whether it be education, they have a different perspective, and I wanted to glean from that, and that's what I love the Jesuit education. It is all about serving. It's all about men and women for others, and magis, which is for more. We're always looking for more, and how can we personally grow, and how can we serve others?
What do you find is the most difficult part of being a nurse educator?
But, you know, I've been thinking about that question, and one of the things is being able to share with the students what the content is, yet meet them where they're at. So one of the things that it's really important for me when I teach is where are they at before I even start content. And if I get a feel for how they learn, what their interests are, then I can weave content into something that sparks their interest, and then they retain it better.
Right.
So if I'm teaching community health and they have an interest in, you know, global health, or they've worked with the poor or things like that, I can weave what I'm educating into there. So that's tough sometimes because you've got lots of people sitting out there that are, and even teaching online, I have the ability to be able to liven up a classroom online as if they were sitting in front of me. So, but that took time.
Right.
To get that in.
And how do you liven up an online classroom?
I ask questions, and I'm one that I keep digging, and I tell my students, you know, if you're questioning something that you've just asked and got an answer from a patient, you dig a little bit more in a kind, could you tell me a little bit more about this? So on an online class, as I'm introducing myself, and we have conversation through our discussions, I'll dig a little deeper into a question and have them get more response, and then that triggers other people to also have conversation about that.
Now, moving forward through other parts of your career, I saw in the resume you sent me that there is a time between 1982 and 1991 where you actually worked as a massage therapist, and it looked like you were self-employed and you owned your own business. And I wanted to know, what was this role like, and why did you decide to take a break from being a staff nurse at the time and go in this other direction?
At the time, I was really getting into alternative medicines, complementary alternative medicines. And back in Jersey and New York City, I was trained as a shiatsu massage person. Mm-hmm. And I loved still the patient-person contact, yet it was a different phase of it. Because a lot of times in nursing, I felt that I was treating symptoms and not the cause. And there's a deeper part of people to help them heal. And it's not just medicine.
Right.
There's a lot of other aspects. So that's how I initially got into it. And then children started popping in there, too. So that was another piece of it. I was able to do that with my family. And I started to really want to get into the homes. I had been doing lots of acute care, and I did float nurse, and there were lots of things there. And something was drawing me to the home environment. And while that was occurring, I was doing my massage stuff, and I absolutely loved it. And, you know, slowly as I found home health and then hospice, it was like, okay, I can combine both of them, you know, and that's what I did.
Right.
But I loved it. I loved having my own business. I loved having the autonomy that way. And there was a part of me that needed reflection, which is a big part of my nursing and who I am, of where am I going, what am I doing, and I love the alternative medicine, and it's not just what we do here.
Right.
And how can I enhance people's wellness with that? So that's how that all evolved.
This kind of sparked your interest in the home health and hospice sector, and I wanted to know, why is end-of-life care so important to you?
First, I will tell you, I have learned more about the living from the dying than I ever could have imagined. And when I was doing home health, I was just naturally drawn to taking care of those with dying. And I think the part of respect and being able to meet, just like with my students, meet patients right where they're at with what's going on, and being able to just be present with them, that a lot of people shy away from death because it's frightening. There was something that through many, many years has drawn me to it. It really increases your listening skills. And just to be present with them, the respect for that, I've just been drawn to it.
Right.
And being able to be a voice for the dying has been important to me. You know, I'm an advocate for end-of-life care.
Right.
That's truly who I am. I'm just an advocate for end-of-life care. So I think that's it, being a voice for them, allowing myself and help teach others about being present. And I just love it.
Absolutely.
And
I wanted to know, how does home health and hospice care tie in with other nursing specialties?
Today, the way healthcare is going, and overall my years of 40 years of being a nurse, I have found that people come, and this is what I always tell my students to do, people come from someplace and they go back someplace. So if they're in acute care, what are we looking for to best serve them outside of here? And that's where the connection of home health and hospice comes in. Do people in acute care know the resources that are out there? Do the people that are working in home health and hospice, what are the areas of prevention so they don't go back into acute care? How can we best educate? And teaching has been a big part of my career. So that's where the connection is of the resources, the partnerships out there. It's huge with partnerships of acute care and home and hospice care. And how can we best serve everybody while we're working within partnership?
Now, getting more into end-of-life care, I saw that you created a board game, and it's called The Path of Life, The Journey of Living at the End-of-Life Game. I wanted to know, how did you come up with this idea of doing a board game, and then how do you utilize it to educate others?
Well, I think it was divinely inspired, but I love doing creative things when I'm educating students. You know, I'm not just a stand-up and lecture kind of person. So I like games. I like alternative teaching methods. And what I found is students were not getting education regarding end of life. They get small pieces of it, but they were afraid of it. And through my doctoral work, as I'm looking at, you know, what will I do for my doctoral work, and it was all focused on end of life, this board game idea came to me, and I'm like, oh, I could do this. And I'm like, really? How are you going to do this? And it just started to evolve. And I had the board, and I like a really rough board out there, and I met with somebody that had used just basic little games, you know, which I've used in class. And then it triggered, and I was reading different books, and it just triggered the idea of I can have students assume the role of a patient going through the journey, whatever their terminal disease is, and it's all about the joy of living in my game. But students assume, and I use it for educating groups. I've been around in hospitals in their new grad programs for nurses that are fresh out of school, and I use the game for that. I also use it at the university level. I've used it for faculty education. I've gone down to an AACN conference down in Florida to share it with other people, which has sparked things coming up that I'm going to be sharing the game at other universities and other nursing schools. So it's to educate my passion for end-of-life care and to get it out there for them to see, to have empathy, right, and then to assume the role of the patient and to realize people can still have joy at the end of life. We can get derailed with a diagnosis, but it brings them back to what their life's all about.
Do you ever use this type of board game with actual patients going through end-of-life care?
So far, I have not used it with actual patients. I am considering that. And I have, the way that I've created the game board, I can alter the scenarios. And, like, I'm going to make some that are just, I have a veteran in my scenario right now, but I'm going to make some that are all vets. Some that can be appropriate, because I've thought about going to senior centers. They aren't maybe patients yet, but it would help them take a look at that.
Right.
So also using it with patients would help them refocus their energy, because you get the news and you're all of a sudden, you forget about your life.
Yeah.
You think death's coming. And this game can help focus on the joy of living.
Right.
So, yes, I have lots of ideas in my head of how it can be used.
Well, that's good.
Yes, very exciting.
Well, another one of the ideas in your head is that you created a puppet presentation around leadership and you present it for third graders. And I wanted to know, how does this tie in with nursing and why did you choose to use puppets to educate around leadership?
Well, that was another, my kids asked, Mom, how are you coming up with these things? I'm like, I don't know. They're just popping into my head. But I, because of my leadership training of different roles that I've had in my nursing career and doing my doctoral work and interdisciplinary leadership, I had decided that, you know, as the world is changing and as time are going, what can I contribute to the younger children coming up to help support them as a leader? And what are the different aspects of leadership? And as I look at those, it's self-confidence and it's reliability and responsibility and things like that. And I have taken what we do as a nurse in our leadership and I have created using puppets because the puppets come to life. And I have a big golden retriever, Rover, and Claire. And then I have all these culturally ethical, diverse puppets that all have different names on them. And I, yesterday was another day I did it with the children, and they just, as soon as they see Rover coming, they're all excited. And then I use geese because geese are, there's a lot for us to learn from leadership with geese, how they take turns, how they fly together as a team to go further. So I use all those aspects, and a lot of those aspects have to do with nursing. If we work as a team, we will go further. If we are solo, you know, we don't work well in silos. So if we work well together and we pool our ideas, how can we best serve best? So it's for the good of all.
Absolutely. I also wanted to know, what is the best thing a nurse can do to improve their patient care, in your opinion?
Being present. People need to be present. They're very distracted with charting on their computers and getting all the tasks done. And the best thing they can do to improve patient care is to be present and to listen. Yes, they have to increase and stay current with nursing. Everything, be up to date on everything, all the resources and everything. Yet at the bedside, and whether it be in leadership, if you are present with your staff, if you are present with your patients, we can go further.
Right.
But we have to listen. We have to just be with people.
Yes. And this is probably tying in with my final question to you. What is a top quality that successful nurses possess? Would you say just being able to be present, or would you say something else?
Besides being present, it's self-reflection. And I think that's from who I am for as a nurse for all these years and my Jesuit education, is self-reflection is huge. If you're going to be a leader, whether you're at the bedside being a leader, whether you're a nurse educator, whatever your role is, if you can reflect on where you're at today, if you can be present with somebody, get your own stuff out of the way, and if there's an issue with something, you can reflect on that. You can like, okay, how did I do best today? What was that area? Maybe I could have improved my relationships with somebody. How can I best serve the patients that I'm with? So I would say critical thinking that nurses do, that's right at the top too.
Absolutely.
Top of the list of being successful. You have to critically think. You have to be able to prioritize and all. But underneath all that is self-reflection. Who am I? Where am I? And where am I going as a nurse? Am I just there to bring in a paycheck? Or am I really there to serve and contribute and be a part of a team? So, because we all have gifts. My belief is we all have gifts. And it's like a big puzzle. And if we're missing a piece, the puzzle's not complete. But with each person working together, it's just like the geese.
Well, that's great. You know, we're wrapping up. And is there anything else final that you would want to add or say to the nursing center community?
I just want to applaud our profession. We have a wonderful profession, and I hope the nurses that are up and coming and they're aware of all the changes as us baby boomers are, there's a huge population of us, and how are they going to best serve us? But just to enjoy the present and just to enjoy the gift of being a nurse.
Well, that's great. And again, I wanted to thank you for submitting this nomination to us.
Wonderful.
Great.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. I appreciate that.
This concludes my interview with Carolyn Ackerman, the registered nurse from Arvada, Colorado, looking to change the end-of-life game. If you know someone you'd like to nominate to be one of our next Nurses on the Move, you can email me at clinicaleditor@nursingcenter.com.